You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil. And today, we're launching our exit interview series. We're going to go through all the players who made it to the end of the season for the Miami Heat. We'll do one player a day. We'll just sort of break down their season, get into some different segments, pros, cons, weaknesses, strengths, what they can improve on over the summer. You'll get the hang of it. But we're going to start with Justice Winslow today, because he's been in the news a little bit, making headlines with his comments during his actual exit interview. David, talking about wanting to be the point guard, and Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra have both been in line as saying they don't view Justice Winslow as a point guard, that they are very apprehensive of putting a position label on him. And I would argue it seems like Justice does pretty well when you put the position label on him. When they named him the point guard, that was a big deal for him midway through December, and he had his best stretch of basketball in his career. I don't understand why they're so hesitant to do that.
Yeah, that makes two of us. You and I were both talking about it before we started recording, and I remember specifically in a couple of different interviews you've had with him, he has specifically told you he wants to be the team's point guard. That he does so again at the end of the season after playing the point guard position for most of it, just reiterates something that we've already known and has long been established. And yet the front office and the coaching staff doesn't seem to want to use that label for whatever reason. Now, we're baffled by that reluctance because Eric Spoelstra has long been an advocate of positionless basketball. I remember him during media day talking about Justice being utilized at all five positions at one point or another. He wants to have him be the quote-unquote Swiss Army knife that he can be used in various different situations, but Winslow feels comfortable with the ball in his hands. He wants to be the guy who initiates offense for this team, and the Heat played most efficiently when that was the case. When Winslow
That's
was
the key. This isn't Whiteside saying he wants to be a starter. This isn't Dion Waiters saying, you know, bleep patience, I want to be the starter. The team is better when Justice Winslow is a point guard. It makes more, they're just better. It makes all the sense in the world. There's really no reason not to make him the point guard.
Yeah, I can't seem to figure it out either because, you know, Dion accepted his role as a secondary ball handler. Goran was willing to come off the bench once he came back from injury after Justice had become the starting point guard or the starting ball handler, whatever. And I'm not sure why you would deviate from that. I mean, unless you're going to have a major roster overhaul, which is certainly a possibility. And maybe that's the case. Let's be honest. Maybe that's why they're reluctant yet again. But the fact is that it's also been a case for a number of years now where Eric Spoelstra has refused to label many players that way and continues to refuse to label Justice Winslow as a point guard or whatnot. So maybe there's the opportunity there to acquire a point guard, say a Kemba Walker or somebody else over the course of the summer. And if that's the case, well, maybe that's why they don't want to use that label anyway. Maybe they just want to say, look, he's a good quality ball handler that we can utilize at some points. I can't.
No, that's the best explanation here is we think we're in play for Kemba Walker. So we're not going to go ahead and tell you to, you're our point guard now to figure out how to run our offense, to focus on point guard skills this summer because we might go get Kemba Walker or whoever it is, but right. We might go get Kemba Walker and he'll be our point guard. But like Justice said, And he was more referencing Goran Dragic. And it does seem like next season, the idea, if this is the same roster that they bring back, the idea would be that Dion Waiters has to get in shape first. And so Goran Dragic would probably be the starter and Dion would start coming off the bench. So they would flip-flop. But Justice even said, look at what they do in Houston. If James Harden and Chris Paul, who are two of the highest usage guards in the history of the sport, can coexist, me and Goran can figure this out. You know, like he's not opposed. He doesn't want to be Russell Westbrook with the ball in his hands all of the time. He just wants to be the point guard. And he knows that in today's league, and he's told me this, he's like, look, just players have the ball in their hands now. And so if it's, you know, the best player on the team, and Winslow has said, and he said this after Dwayne Wade retired, and when he was asked about it, he wants to be the face of the franchise now. He wants to be the next guy. And if you're the Heat, if those are the guys you need to empower, because the future of this team relies on guys like Justice, Josh, and Bam. And Bam's not a point guard. And Josh is better as a secondary option. And Justice is better with the ball in his hand. So it doesn't make sense to want, like, okay, well, do we want Deion to have the ball? Do we want Gordon to have the ball? No, you don't, because their team doesn't get better in the long run when you empower those guys. You've got to empower the young guys who can grow with this team and make this and raise this team's ceiling. That's Justice.
You know, it strikes me as you're saying this and talking about young player development, and then in kind of context of everything they talked about Dwayne Wade showing in his rookie year, where they kind of had this aha moment that they realized he was a superstar. I wonder if they just haven't seen enough from Winslow where they feel it's necessary to empower him as a player. That they feel comfortable with him being a solid, if unspectacular, player on their roster, but they don't see him necessarily as the guy who they have to give and invest their power on, you know, as far as, like, when they were talking about Dwayne Wade. Like, Dwayne just kind of took over that team in 2003, his rookie year. By the end of the year, despite having veterans like Eddie Jones and Brian Grant and, to a lesser extent, Caron Butler and Lamar Odom, guys that had already played in the league for a year or more, you know, Dwayne became clearly the best player on that team. And so I wonder if they just haven't seen that from Justice, and they're saying, you know, we need him to kind of show us enough so that we can validate him and then kind of empower him a little bit more. Maybe they just haven't seen it, because otherwise it seems like they've forgotten what it means to develop a player. Like, so much of the player development has to do with fit. You don't get the chance to show your skill set because you're pigeonholed into a particular position, or because in Justice's case, say you're not given the opportunity to be the team's point guard. But, you know, maybe if they had made him a point guard 2 seasons ago when he was first drafted, or in his second year when Dwayne left to Chicago, maybe things are different. Maybe they're focused on developing him in that regard, and maybe he takes a leap that we hadn't seen. But either way, now here we are in year 4 of Justice's career, and he hasn't had the best opportunity to showcase his talent. And now that he has that opportunity, maybe it's not enough from the Miami front office and the Miami coaching staff's perspective to say that we have faith in him being able to take over games the way the way Winslow is saying publicly that he wants to be the face of the franchise, the guy who takes over a franchise and leads them to the promised land.
And look, and I think that's a failure on the coaching staff. I do. And I said that before the season. I wouldn't, if I was Justice Winslow, I might not sign the extension. And he ultimately signed the extension, and it was the right move. Most players sign that extension, that first extension. But I didn't. I said, I don't know if I would, because if I'm Justice Winslow, they haven't used me right, and they've failed me so far as a prospect, and as a coaching staff, they've failed me. So they need to figure it out, and I get it. Justice Winslow basically coming out and saying, in response, what do you want to work on this summer? I want to figure out what position I'm playing, which is basically like telling the coaching staff, because he can't do anything. That's up to the coaching staff, so they need to figure it out, and eventually they have to come to the realization that he is a point guard. But I will say this. Do we think that Justice Winslow is the starting point guard on a championship team? Probably not. I don't know that he is. And the reason I say that is because he's not a super athlete. He's not an elite shooter. He's gotten better, but he's not an elite shooter. I don't think anybody would call him that. He's not Luka Doncic, where he's just like this magician scorer. So I don't know, and maybe that's, if you're the Heat, that's where you're coming from. And I could buy that. I could understand that. But the Heat aren't a championship caliber team. And so once you become a championship caliber team, once you start filling in the pieces and you start going and getting the superstars to fill in around a Justice Winslow, if he's still part of that team, then you cross that bridge when you get there. But for now, you've got to develop these guys. Well, you've got to develop Justice Winslow so that you might be able to trade him for a superstar, because he came back from that injury and he started playing small ball 4, and he was back there on the perimeter and he didn't look as comfortable. And at some point, you just got to develop the three most players you have, the most important players you have. And then whoever they pick at 13, if they keep the pick, those are the 4 guys. Like, you need to figure, you got to put those guys in their best positions to develop and to succeed, and then all the other players fall into place around them.
Now, I'll challenge that a little bit and say, who would you say is a better point guard, Mario Chalmers or Justice Winslow last season?
Well, Mario Chalmers wasn't in the league.
No, sorry. Mario Chalmers, when he was running the point during the last 2 seasons of the Big Three, or Justice Winslow?
I would say Justice. Justice, when he was playing point guard in December, was a better point guard than Mario Chalmers was. But Chalmers wasn't really the point guard. Dwayne Wade was, and so was LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, Maybe. I mean, he did bring the ball up occasionally. You're right. I mean, I know what you're saying, though. But it's like, you have to have somebody out there. Even, how about this? Ron Harper with the latter, the three-peat from the Chicago Bulls.
Right.
You know, or even when he was with the Los Angeles Lakers when they had Kobe and Shaquille O'Neal. You know,
But he was also like that three-point guy. He was like Chalmers.
I mean, well, maybe that's the case, though. Is that it?
Well, here's the comparison I make with Justice is Draymond Green brings the ball up quite a bit for Golden State, but Steph Curry has the ball in his hands all the time, and then they'll let Kevin Durant do his isolation thing and pick and roll thing. There's room for multiple guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But Draymond Green embraces being the power forward. He embraces being this small ball four. That's the role he embraces, and it gives him confidence, and he plays well in that role. Justice Winslow could do the same thing. Just call him the freaking point guard. Just let him call himself point guard. It's like giving a guy a title bump instead of a raise. If that makes him perform better at work, then just freaking do it, because it doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't hurt the bottom line. It helps the bottom line, because now all of a sudden he's, instead of junior blah, 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 he's associate blah, 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 and now he's putting in better work from 9 to 5. Just let Justice call himself the point guard. We're fine with that. That doesn't mean Goran Dragic can't bring the ball up occasionally. It doesn't mean that if you go and get Jimmy Butler this season that he can't bring the ball up and isolate when he wants to do that. And we saw that Justice Winslow was willing to do that when he was point guard. Again, he wasn't Russell Westbrook with the ball in his hands all the time. Just let him call himself the freaking point guard. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
Bam, Jay Rich, all of them had opportunities to bring the ball up and initiate offense. It wasn't like he was commandeering the ball 100% of the time.
All right, let's take a quick break here and let's talk about what Justice Winslow got better at and what he did well this past season. So this was easily Justice Winslow's best season of his career. He averaged 12.6 points per game on 43% shooting. Those were both career highs. 37.5% from three-point range, which actually was a notch below what he shot in 2017-18. He was a 38% three-point shooter, but he did it at a much higher clip. I mean, 2017-18, 38% on basically two threes a game. He doubled his volume to four threes a game and basically kept the same percentage, which is everything that you could have hoped for. But he's still a marginal free throw shooter, 62-63% from the stripe. 4.3 assists a game because he's a point guard. 5.4 rebounds per game, ties for a career high. This was a really strong season for Justice Winslow when it was all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, his turnovers were a little higher, but overall, you're absolutely right. I think, without a doubt, his best statistical year, and just, I think, from a maturation standpoint as well. I wonder, though, and maybe this is a little off topic considering what we're discussing, his strengths here. He played in only 66 games. Do we have concerns that Justice might be a little injury prone? He might not be able to play a full season. Like, he played 78 his rookie year, 18 the following one, and then just 68 and 66 since then. So I wonder if there are any concerns about his longevity or his ability to play a full season.
I'm somewhat concerned. The only reason I'm not is he's only 23. He just turned 23 years old in March. And these guys hit their prime, you know, from a physical standpoint, 25, 26, 27, 28. So I do, like, I would hope that as he matures and as his body gets stronger and he gets into better condition, that he'll start being able to play 75 to 80 games a season, you know, which is the norm now. Few guys play 82 games. So, but I am a little concerned. 66 games this year, 68 games the year before that. Obviously, had the big injury as a sophomore, only played 18 games. But I'm not that worried. I'm not super concerned about it.
So, and
especially if he's especially if he's playing point guard and he doesn't have to bang up against big men as much as he was earlier in his career.
So as far as, you know, other things that he's improved this year, one of the knocks on Justice was his ability to finish at the rim. This was his best year at doing so. He finished at 57% of all shots within 3 feet of the rim, according to Basketball Reference. So that's a significant improvement. His best had been the previous year. I mean, look, he had a career best 57.5% his rookie year, but he wasn't shooting that much from around the rim. And I think that this is a pretty big improvement as far as his ability to score in a variety of different ways. I think that's still a room for improvement there. But I think that's showing some growth in that sense. His mid-range game also improved significantly. 35% shooting from 10 to 16 feet. I mean, that's not bad overall.
No, and he got a bag of tricks, so to speak, right? Like, we didn't know what Justice Winslow's offensive move was because he didn't have one before this year. And he started shooting. He's pulling up off the dribble. You know, he had that little mid-range leaner thing that he likes to go to. He's not hesitant whatsoever to shoot from three-point range anymore, and it looks really good. Like, his shot legitimately looks good. Like, not just compared to Justice Winslow in the past, but against the rest of the league, he has a good-looking jumper. And so, to me, that's the number one improvement. Like, that was the thing that you always harp on Justice, and every summer he was working on it. Three summers later, it turns out that there was real development there. And I do think that this is sustainable. I do think he could be a 4, 5, 6 three-point per attempt per game guy and shoot it right around 37%. I think that's very viable for him, and that's huge for him. It's really just, and we'll get to what he needs to improve on, but it's just filling out around that. But it becomes so much easier once we're able to shoot the ball with confidence, and other teams have to respect you. And we did start seeing teams respect that jumper a little bit more as the season went on.
And I'm glad you brought up that confidence, because I think that's the biggest thing there, is that we saw him step into these shots without any kind of hesitation or moment of doubt or anything like that. Something that we'd seen earlier in his career. There was no hitch in his rhythm. It looked fluid. A really, really nice-looking shot. And you know what? I think that also speaks at a macro level there, as far as he's focused on something that he needed to grow and develop, and he was able to accomplish that. And I think that show, like, it might be a little cliche, but veterans will say that they want to improve on something every offseason. They always want to take something on some aspect of their game, focus on that, and develop it in some capacity. And he's shown the ability to do so. So if you're looking for anything on a larger scale to kind of harp on and focus on and seek encouragement from, it's his ability to focus on his shooting and to develop into a legitimate weapon where you do have to have concerns for it as an opponent.
All right, well, let's talk about what he can improve on. Let's do that after this break. All right, so we already talked about what Justice Winslow already did improve on, and I thought that was a really good point you made, David, that he went out, he said, I'm going to be a better three-point shooter, and then he became one, and I think that's a huge statement on his part of saying, like, all right, if he could fix his jumper, which a lot of people had doubts about, so if he could overcome that, then basically he can go out every summer, the idea would be, and he can go out every summer, and pick one thing and just get better at that. So if he could get better at one thing, what would that be? I think he needs to get better as an athlete. And I think he can. I think he's just now reaching the peak from his prime as far as his physicality. He needs to go out and, you mentioned 57% at the rim. That needs to be better. Part of that, he needs to get more lift. He's never going to be an above the rim athlete. He's never going to go out there and be Zion Williamson. But he needs to get a little bit more lift by the rim. He needs to be able to finish through contact. He needs to just be more of a physical force, because you look at him and you're like, wow, like 6'7", 240, whatever he is, he should be able to kind of just run through guys and get to the basket. And he doesn't really force the issue there. And you'd like to see a little bit more of that. He takes two free throw attempts per game, so basically gets to the line once a game. You'd like to see that double, triple, quadruple, yes. Yeah. Like if he's got the ball in his hands. So more of that. Get to the rim. Don't, you know, we just praised the floater and the little leaner and stuff. Don't rely so much on that. Lower your shoulder, get to the rim. And I think part of that, there's a lot that goes into that. His general craftiness needs to improve too. But it starts with just becoming a better athlete.
And I think you could say, like, physically, the dimensions are there similar to a Jimmy Butler type. Like, as far as the overall length and things of that sort. And yet Butler gets to the line so much more. And so you have to wonder what the difference is in their respective games. And I think Butler just initiates contact. He draws it. He welcomes it. There's something about, I don't know, him and Jay Rich both, that they shy away from contact maybe, or when they get it, they absorb it. I don't know.
No, they do. That's why they both developed it. Remember, Josh Richardson started with the scoop shot, and then Justice stole it. He also has the scoop shot.
Yeah.
Like, we like the ice cream scoop emoji, and you know, you tweet that out with the highlight and stuff like that, but ultimately, that move is made so that you can fall away from the rim and sort of scoop that thing up there without taking any contact. You'd like to just see them put the shoulder in there and put the shot up. You know, it doesn't look as pretty, but it earns you an extra point.
Yeah. And in Richardson's case, obviously, he needs to put on a little bit more weight to absorb those kinds of impacts.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with Justice. He's a big boy. He's strong enough to handle it, I think, and he can absorb that. And like, you know, you don't. We're just talking about whether or not he may or may not be injury prone, or he may not be able to play a full season. Either way, he still needs to be able to get to the line more. Like, as the team's starting point guard, if you will, he needs to get to the line more often than just twice per game. Like, that's not nearly enough. And so that's a big concern for him. We start to see market improvements in his ball handling, but I still think he could get a little bit better. His passing was phenomenal. At least it started to improve over the course of the year, but I think, again, that's still an area of growth. But I would say the physicality, you mentioned it, and it's an interesting thing to consider there, because maybe that would change everything else. You know, I've done it a number of times, but your interview with Victor Oladipo and his trainers and kind of saying, you know, this is an area where we figured out that this was the problem right here. This is why he was getting injury prone over the course of his career. And we improved it. We focused on it. And now he's, you know, unfortunately he suffered a major injury, but that wasn't as a result of anything.
That was a contact injury. Right. Yep.
So you wonder if maybe, you know, he needs to develop his hamstrings more, or his core more, or something that could take him to that next level. His hips need to explode more or something like that. I think that was the terminology they used for Oladipo, right?
Yeah, that was Oladipo's thing, was the hips. And I'm doing a story right now on another player, and his thing was his glutes. There's like all these muscles in the lower posterior chain that you can fix, or not maybe necessarily fix, but make stronger.
Right.
And there's a variety of ways to do that. And I think we've seen Justice yam on dudes, right? We've seen it. It happens. It's happened at Duke. It's happened in the NBA. We've seen him just completely put guys on posters. He has the ability. So when I say improve your athleticism, it's not just all of a sudden be able to dunk. It's not all of a sudden be able to jump, you know, X amount of inches or whatever. It's now just it's that athleticism, is that athleticism that already exists, just making it more consistent. It's just like a jumper, you know, and a lot of that, again, has to do with your overall conditioning. You know, these guys do these drills all the time, and it's typically big men, but like, and you've seen them do these before games where, you know, one of the assistant coaches will just keep bouncing the ball off the backboard, and their job is to just keep jumping and grabbing it, or jumping and dunking it and putting it back in and stuff like that.
Right.
That's to improve athleticism, right? That's your athleticism has an endurance, and you need to improve that endurance, just like you would on a treadmill to improve like your cardiovascular health, right? So Justice needs to do that. And we've seen, like, with Oladipo, it took him years. It took him three different teams to get there, but he got there. And I do think Justice Winslow could do that. And one other part that I'll say he needs to improve on is, and you mentioned the ball handling. That needs to improve. You know, just knowing how to navigate the pick and roll a little bit better. Having that jumper is going to give him a lot more space. It's going to make things a lot easier for him. And he might be maybe a couple years away from this, David, but we've seen guys like James Harden basically eliminate the mid-range game.
Mm-hmm.
And you hate to be picky once Justice Winslow like starts scoring, right? He's, again, career high, almost 13 points per game. You don't want to be picky of where those shots come from. So that's why I say maybe he's a couple years away from this. But starting to eliminate that mid-range game, if he could start getting to the bucket, drawing those fouls, and really getting comfortable with pulling up from that three-point range area, and just becoming a more efficient shooter and getting that true, you know, that efficient field goal percentage, that true shooting percentage up a little bit higher, that would be huge for Justice's game, too.
It seems like we're kind of bagging on him. And I know the focus of this segment was, you know, the things that he needs to improve. I mean, I think you can still look at his season and recognize that it was not only the best of his career, his short career, but certainly, to use Pat Riley's phrase, a launching pad for the future. Like we can see growth, incremental growth, maybe even massive growth over the next year or two from Justice, where he could become a legitimate all-star player, if not even more, you know. I think
we can, because because it's only been the jumper. We've done this it's always been the jumper with him. And finally, for the first time, and that's why we're he could do this, he can improve this, he can improve on that. It was because the jumper's there now. He can shoot. He can legitimately shoot the ball. And that's sort of the skeleton key in all of these things. It creates more space, it creates more options for Justice. And so now we're like, I feel impatient. I'm almost like, I want him to now, with having the jumper unlocked, he can go ahead and improve in all these other areas now, because he doesn't have to worry about the jumper anymore.
Yeah. So what's next then for Justice, as far as not just his improvement and things of that sort, but how do you build around Justice? How do you get to Justice to be the best player on your team? How do you make him the face of your franchise? Is that something he's capable of, or is he in your opinion, perhaps, you know, is he the centerpiece of a potential trade to acquire a superstar, right, or already an established superstar?
And that's what he wants, to be the face of the franchise, right? He said it.
Yes.
And that's the big question that the Heat have to figure out. Like, can he be that? Because if he can, we're going to hold on to him. And if not, maybe we should start shopping him now. Because his value is high right now. He's got good value around the league. He's going into the second year, or the first year of that extension, right, next year. So he's got a lot of value. And so I think he can be an all-star. I really do. Because he's got the defense. It's already down. He's known as a good defender around the league. So he's got the reputation. So that'll help him get into an all-star game. And I think he's aggressive with the ball. Like, I think he wants to score 20 points per game. Like, I don't know if Josh Richardson wants to score 20 points per game.
He does not.
I don't, and we know that Bam doesn't want to score 20 points per game. I think Justice wants to put up, like, I think he wants to put up 27-7. I think he wants to do that. I think that's where he wants to be. And those are all-star-like numbers. So, I'm not just saying because he wants it, he can do it. But going back to what we've said, like, he wanted to be a good three-point shooter, and he became one. So I don't, and he's a real player. Like, this isn't Josh Richardson drafted in the second round. Like, he was a lottery pick and wasn't, and deserved to be so. It was thought he could have been taken as high as number four to the Knicks that year.
Yes.
So, I'll say he could be an all-star. I won't say he could be the face of a franchise. I just don't think he has that level of magic, you know, not like this unspecific thing. I just don't think he has that. But he could be a really big... He could be one of the top three players on a championship team. I really think he could do that.
I think so, too. I think that's fair. Perhaps not the lead player on a championship team, but certainly,
right,
you know, a complimentary player, a guy that you need. I mean, look, let's be honest. Even Scottie Pippen, we look at him now as a top 50 player, one of the greats of all time, etc. At the time, nobody thought he was a lead player. Maybe that's a byproduct of playing alongside Michael Jordan. It's like no one's ever going to be considered as good as Michael. But at the same time, you know, that's not a knock on Scottie. He was a hell of a player. He was just a complimentary one to a really, really, really all-time great superstar in Michael. So, you know, I think for Justice's perspective, as much as he wants to be the face of the franchise, he should do everything in his power to get there. And if Miami still is able to acquire another better, more established player in the meantime, then do so. That still has plenty of opportunity for Justice to highlight his game. And I think you can have multiple all-stars per team if you're winning enough games, if you're kind of changing the narrative about this group. It's not just about being a hard-working, scrappy bunch that kind of exceeds expectations. It's about, you know, having two really, really good players, either a well-established superstar and a second-level, you know, star player. And if that's what Justice thinks he can be, then do so.
Can he coexist next to Jimmy Butler and or Kemba Walker?
You know, I'd say so. I don't think that's a problem. I mean, I think good players, of which I think Justice, Jimmy, and Kemba all are, obviously, I think they can figure it out. I think they can figure out a way of being complimentary. I mean, I think it'll be a huge blow to the ego for Justice if they went out and acquired a superstar, because, you know, a superstar at point guard, because he's clearly stated he wants to be that guy. So I wonder how he takes that kind of a demotion. Other than that, I figure he'll figure something out. If he has to become more of a secondary ball handler, I think he'll adjust and he'll still find a way to make his impact felt. That's the whole thing too, is, you know, if you don't have the ball in your hands as much as you want that opportunity, when you get it, you've got to make something happen. You've got to do something with it. And that falls on each individual player. If that means being more explosive, getting to the rim, finishing better, making the better pass, you know, navigating the pick and roll situation more effectively, all those things fall on you as a player, whether you have the ball in your hand 50 times or 25 times, you know, you got to do something with it.
And Justice did that, I think, to his credit. When he had the ball in his hands, stuff happened. He made things happen. And that was huge for Miami's offense, which needed guys to make stuff happen. We've talked about that 100 times. You can have two point guards. I'll end it with that. You can have two point guards. Justice is a point guard. And by the way, he's a point guard who can defend point guards. So that makes the second point guard, you don't have to worry about that second point guard's defense as much. It makes the second point guard stronger. If that second point guard's Kemba Walker, Justice Winslow and Kemba Walker, that's a really good backcourt.
It is.
That's a really good backcourt. Thanks for listening, and remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. You can connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks for spending some time with us today. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Crack it up, B.